Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Final hour of the program. We are fired up and feeling good. Got a lot to get to, but the goal is to be interactive. There is a chance for a phone call in 20 minutes. We'll make it last call for phone calls. 1-800-636-8686. Emails on an ATP Wednesday, RomanAvatake.com. Your tweets are coming up as well as we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rockets can. Brian Weber with you. Just one more guest in our remaining 60 minutes together. Coming up in 40 minutes, more reflections on the remarkable legacy of Vin Scully, who passed away last night. And what do the Padres look like in terms of postseason positioning after the mega deal that came together yesterday just prior to the trade deadline? Juan Soto moving from D.C. to America's finest city. We'll check in with Scott Miller, who has a San Diego connection. He has been a part of the Padre pre- and post-game coverage for many years. Also now a contributor to the New York Times, and you hear him on Sirius XM Radio. We'll get back to the NFL. Deshaun Watson, fallout from the Dolphins. Don't call it a tanking situation. Merely tampering was found by the league. And Tom Brady turns 45 today. Mention your tweets are coming up. We're looking for a huge tweet, as always, brought to you by our friends at Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry. 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at better than 250 local branches. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Still no word from the National Football League. Just past 2 o'clock Eastern time, with a deadline looming tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern, the league has to make its intent official. Are they going to appeal the 6-game suspension for Deshaun Watson that was meted out by the former federal judge, Sue Robinson? We'll talk about those details coming up. If you are tired of Deshaun Watson as a conversation point, I fully understand. This is also an extraordinary and unique situation. I can't think of the comp, nor do I want to, just because the allegations are so unseemly, and the challenge we have in our occupation, I'll just speak for myself, the challenge I have is the very nature of what we do. Sports Talk Radio is about having fun. It's a sense of community, especially on this show. There's no better group of listeners and an engaged media audience than the Jungle. And I don't have to go through my whole I'm a clone speech, but I'm invested in this program going back to 1997, I think, when Jim landed on KNBR 1050 in San Francisco. So I fully appreciate what this forum is all about. At the same time, I think there is a responsibility to cover what's newsworthy, not be heavy-handed, not be sanctimonious. But I think the problem we run into often, some of us, is that because we have a mindset in sports talk radio of we're talking about the games. And I just did it again. I've gone through the Browns schedule, the first 6 games. If, in fact, that's the length of suspension that Deshaun Watson will miss. I'm not doing Mike and the Mad Dog win. Dog, what do you think, win? But we come up with instant analysis, strong opinions that should not have a degree of fallibility. And then when we venture into what is the real world with a lot more nuance and these disgusting allegations, it's a hard balancing act to achieve. So I can understand. I will read more of your tweets after the program. I saw the feedback after yesterday. If you think I've been myopic, if you think I've been too solely focused on this topic, I appreciate your thoughts. I'm still going to do the show the way I think it should be executed, but I just want to share my mindset. I'm not trying to play prosecutor on the radio. I didn't go to law school for a reason. This is all, sadly, I ever wanted to do for a living. But when there's a substantial story, I can't ignore it, even if it has an undercurrent that makes us all uncomfortable. And that's why, in my view, the league has to appeal the six-game suspension. And when they do, let's just say what's going to happen. The appeal will be an extension to a full season. Now, I made the case earlier, and this is also a bit unseemly, but unfortunately, we wind up in an area called moral relativism, where we try to weigh the severity of behavior. So with the NFL coming up with their own justice system, we've had many observations on Twitter saying, okay, Watson's getting six games, but Calvin Ridley got a full year for gambling. And I pointed out repeatedly, the gambling policy is as clear and as articulated as can be for decades. If you're caught gambling, you're out for a year. And it's not about the amount of money that Ridley was betting on a parlay. It's the fact he broke the rule, and there's evidence because he did it online. And if you want to talk about DeAndre Hopkins, and he can dispute that positive test all he wants to, the PED policy exists because it gets to the integrity of the game, as does gambling, as do the allegations of tanking, that the Dolphins somehow were able to escape. The NFL came out with their finding yesterday. When we get to personal conduct, now it is subject to interpretation. So Ben Roethlisberger was never charged with a crime. Six games was the original finding, knocked down to four. Ezekiel Elliott, six games. Jameis Winston, as cited by the former federal judge, Sue Robinson, with a act of nonviolent sexual behavior, had a three-game suspension for groping an Uber driver. And now we all are thinking, what's the right math here? Watson, these are allegations. No crime has been alleged. No indictment has been handed up. No arrest has been made. But in the past, that's immaterial because Roger Goodell established the precedent. He could do whatever he wanted to. And the league has always had the upper hand in their dealings with the NFLPA because there are so many football players. Other than the labor battles years ago leading to replacement players, now the union does what they can on the margins to try to get as much of the revenue split as they can overall. Everybody's making a ton of money, but the NFLPA is the weakest union in all professional sports. If they had, say, the power and the resolve of the baseball union, Roger Goodell would not have this power. They did well just to get it to the compromise of the independent arbitrator and Judge Robinson, but it's still Goodell or his designee who's going to make this final ruling if and when they appeal before tomorrow's deadline. And when they do, and I think they have to, for the fundamental reason of the optics, 50% of NFL fans, according to the league's research, are women. And how can you have Watson out there at all this year? There's still been no contrition. Now, if you're a Watson supporter, you're going to have the counterargument that, where's the proof? If a grand jury on two occasions didn't indict him, this is now his opinion, his view of events versus the four women that participated in the league investigation. And again, now we're going down the law and order road here. This is a private entity that decided based on some reprehensible behavior years ago. Remember Leonard Little with the felony DUI, killed somebody. He's back in the league. I understand how we got here. And obviously, Ray Rice was the catalyst for everything. But there was videotape in that. This is a lot more ambiguous, but I ultimately think the league has to step in just based on the sheer volume of the accusers. And I understand we're talking about four people who participated in the process, but we're all well aware there are 24 lawsuits. The New York Times had the report of 66 different women being contacted. So since now I'll be Hacky Magoo, as the sports talk radio host, got to give you my prediction. My prediction is the league will make it known before the deadline tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern. They're appealing. And the outcome will be Watson is not playing football this entire year after he sat out all last year because he wanted out and Houston wouldn't trade him. I'm Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. You could slide in at 1-800-636-8686. Talked a lot about the Dolphins. I'll make the transition connecting the Dolphins to Tom Brady. So since there's been a lot of legalese, I can sum up the Dolphins situation in a minute. If the same process that has been used for the first time coming out of the new collective bargaining agreement in the Deshaun Watson case had been used in the Dolphins investigation, any impartial arbiter, former federal judge, whomever it is, get Ted Wells on the phone. He needs to make more money. In my opinion, would have found that the Dolphins clearly, as an organization under the direction of owner Stephen Ross, were engaged in a tanking strategy. Now, it's a credit to Brian Flores that he would not participate. I believe Brian Flores when he says that he was offered $100,000 per loss in the tank for two a year. And the league came so close to siding with Flores, they were not going to do it for obvious reasons. They're not going to turn on one of their own. When I say the league, it's 32 ownership groups. If they haven't moved on Daniel Snyder yet, they're not coming after Stephen Ross for this. They got him because there was so much evidence of tampering, both with Brady and Sean Payton, that the league felt a substantial fine keeping the owner away for effectively a six-game suspension. Plus, he can't even go into his own facility. That's different than Watson, who's still part of training camp for the Browns. And let's say it's a six-game suspension. He can be a part of the preseason. The league is trying to signal, we took this seriously. And we did exhaustive investigations to conclude that this is over the top. We've never seen anything like this. But it's all a diversion. Because the league also said about those allegations of $100,000 offer per loss, quote, there are different recollections about the wording, timing, and context of the remark. He was just joshing. Hey, Brian Flores, lighten up. Here comes Ashton Kutcher and the crew. You've been punked. That reference is about 15 years off the mark, right? There's got to be a YouTube show like that now. The Nelk Boys come in and do a wacky stunt. So the league had the outcome predetermined. They were not going to admit tanking because they can't, especially now in the era of gambling. How would you like to have the receipts? Okay, I bet all of these dollars on the Dolphins. What do you know? The fix was in. How's that going to play as we get set for the start of the preseason tomorrow with the Hall of Fame game? Tom Brady is 45 years old. If I had more creativity, I would have started the hour with this. What do you get Tom Brady for his 45th birthday? Your tweet's available. BW Weber, Weber with two B's.
Let's go!
Should have thought about
that. Let's go!
Tom Brady somehow looks younger every year, and I'm just talking cosmetically. He could pull off this jacket. Uncle Brian's having difficulties, but I'll hold my breath for the last 45 minutes. Now, we understand who he's married to. If you are part of a empire between Brady and Gisele Bündchen, she's got access to the right doctors and the right product. So, Tom, just from a standpoint of cosmetics, looks phenomenal. I made the observation, as Garrett Ritt gets older every day, Tom Brady gets younger. There was a weird Freaky Friday kind of synergy there.
This is not cool.
Tom Brady is getting ready not only to be the face of football now for the foreseeable future when he moves into the broadcast booth for Powerball money to say nothing. Has Tom Brady ever said one interesting thing? And that's by design. Half of that was when he was in the cult of personality in New England. And I realize he has those clever tweets. You think it's Tom Brady hammering those out with the trick viral videos. But only a fool, only the most contrarian of fill-in hosts would try to take down Tom Brady on his birthday. And I'm not that guy. But I did come to the conclusion that when you compare Brady to the other GOATs, the other icons of their sports, is he the least relatable of them all? So I'm not doing Jordan versus LeBron, but let's just say Jordan, in my estimation, because I'm old, is the greatest basketball player of all time, and I get the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar analogy, but let's just talk Jordan. At least Jordan at the end was relatable. He couldn't squeeze into this jacket either. He was a little bit portly, and he was missing shots for the Washington Wizards. The obvious thing that comes to mind is Willie Mays stumbling around the outfield in 1973 for the Mets. But that's ancient history. I'm not doing Johnny Unitas playing for the Chargers or Joe Namath for the Rams, or Joe Nathan at the end of his career for the Giants. If you think about Tiger Woods, how relatable has he become? Dating back to the events of Thanksgiving weekend in 2009. We've all had bad relationships. We all have physical ailments as we get older. He's walking with a limp. Somehow we feel a different connection. Does anybody relate to Tom Brady? How could we? Anybody married to a supermodel in the audience? Anybody have hundreds of millions of dollars at their disposal? Anybody still playing at a credible level at the age of 45? So I don't have the answer for you. I don't know how he has defied time. I realize that he has an amazing work ethic and has the ability to prioritize being in peak condition rather than enjoying a cookie. But also, as we wrap it up, think about the role of luck in Tom Brady's path. And I was watching an HBO documentary centered on Paul Newman. And Paul Newman, another contemporary reference here, The Verdict. Watch it tonight. Bruce Willis is an extra in the final summation when he gets up and says, "We're all so lost." Paul Newman was asked about why he thought he was successful, and he said, "I was lucky." And the interviewer said, "Why do you feel that way?" He said, "I was lucky I was born with blue eyes. If I have brown eyes, I don't get a break when I'm young." Think about the luck that came Tom Brady's way. I'm not doing he's the luckiest of all time, but just thinking about the combination of events to get his name called to pick 199 and land with New England, not say the Lions, where you're now dealing with the curse of Bobby Lane since 1957. The bad luck for Drew Bledsoe getting hurt. The luck of a horrible call by the refs in the Tuck Rule game. If that is called properly, the Patriot dynasty may have been crushed before it even started. And I know the notion that luck is the residue of design. So I'm not undermining anything that Brady has dedicated himself to achieving. Guy has worked harder, apparently, than anybody in his position. He makes the sacrifices. He watches the film. No need for a Kyler Murray clause for Tom. But I think, as we try to get philosophical here, for all of us, since we can't relate to Brady on any level, there's no Gisele Bündchen in our life, we don't have that mane of hair, we're not worth hundreds of millions of dollars, we don't have any of the rings. Maybe the one thing we do have in common with Tom Brady is the possibility to acknowledge the importance of luck or fortune or karma or whatever you believe in, because we have all these grand designs and ambitions and we map things out. But if we get drafted by the Lions instead of the Patriots, we wind up being Jared Goff in the second portion of his career, Matthew Stafford before he's liberated. I could go through the whole honor roll of terrible line quarterbacks, but I want to save time for your interaction. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. I could take a phone call coming up, 1-800-636-8686. We will pay off the ATP straight ahead. You can still slide in. Rome at haveatake.com. More of your tweets on the way. BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. 20 minutes more on Vin Scully and the fallout from the Padres picking up Juan Soto when we talk baseball with Scott Miller of the New York Times. Coming up, we'll focus on Brady's old backup in New England. Where is Jimmy Garoppolo going to land, and how good is Trey Lance going to be this season? That's on the way. I'm in for Jim Rome. You're in the jungle on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Weber back with you in for Jim Rome. Home stretch, but we have a lot of content to get to. Coming up in 15 minutes, we wrap it up with Gusto. More thoughts on the passing of Vin Scully. And we'll also focus on matters across the diamond. Padres with the mega acquisition of Juan Soto yesterday. We'll put the National League in perspective with the Mets finally getting the season debut from Jacob DeGrom last night. Came at a loss. That's not important. The fact that he made it through five innings with no further pain and only gave up the handful of runs along the way, a single earned run. We'll cover it all with Scott Miller, who covers MLB for the New York Times. You hear him on Sirius XM Radio as well. Talking Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers and quarterbacks on the move momentarily. A few more tweets than the ATP. And let's get the lousy one out of the way. Just because I am amazed at the motivation of mindless people. Go Blue, that offensive mix. Leave it to you radio hacks like Brian Weber. Now, you could just write, leave it to you, radio hack, comma, Brian Weber, to obsess and bloviate all day about Vin Scully. We get it. He was a great announcer. He had a great career. Who cares? Watching you buffoons act like we lost a cultural icon or national leader is embarrassing. Honestly, what's it like to wake up in the morning and be that miserable? Now, if I want to take a step back and try to view this with objectivity, obviously, because those of us in the broadcast profession valued the achievements of Vin Scully at such an extraordinary level, we are prone to spending time, thank you, time, on the passing of a legend. But, and I am a buffoon, I'll acknowledge that, he was a cultural icon, especially here in Southern California. When the Dodgers came west and played at the L.A. Coliseum before Dodger Stadium was built at Chavez Ravine, thousands of people showed up with transistor radios to listen to Vin Scully. And from a national standpoint, when the World Series used to get 30, 40, 50 million people watching, if Vin Scully's calling the game, isn't that a national impact? Isn't that a cultural resonance? So it is astonishing to me, the anger that people carry around, but I wanted to provide the other thought. My man Enrico hits me up with Ray and Essays on Baker Street. You don't know what city we're in, but Baker Street's fine. With an Uber Eats container filled with McRibs, trying to deliver them to Weber, but he can't find the studio. Can you provide him and Ira Craig with an address? No, no. Thank you, Rip, one more time. You are a piece of work. No, I know the reference. I was watching that day. When is the Garrett Rich Show coming up? It was almost the Garrett Rich Show when I couldn't start my car a couple weeks ago, and you would prefer that. About 10 weeks, Tom whispers in my ear.
To the studio every day on Baker Street.
Somewhere in the greater Rancho Cucamonga area here in Southern California. Ken and Essay, Webb's Fred Siegel, who was a great guest, the man who runs Freezing Cold Takes. Check out the brand new book with football takes that were hideous. Fred Siegel's basically a Twitter hall monitor. No one likes a narc. Yours, Silk Bra. Narc Bra. Okay, time for the ATP. And I'm going to be a narcissist and pick one about myself. I'm going to answer your Ask the Pros question. You, the clones, had the opportunity to submit a question. CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Jim B. writes, and I'm told we have a call. We'll get there momentarily. How about this? Just to fulfill my forward promotion. I'm back next Thursday. We'll talk Jimmy G then. I don't think he's going anywhere because the Niners will be off the hook for the $24 million bucks if they release him at the end of the month. They got a couple more weeks to see if a starting quarterback goes down. Remember when Teddy Bridgewater got hurt in practice for the Vikings years ago? The Sam Bradford deal netted some real tangible assets and picks for Philadelphia. There's your Jimmy G update. I'll do it again next Thursday.
And it's over just that quickly.
There, Brian, with your extensive resume calling a wide variety of sports, including softball, bowling, arm wrestling, has there ever been a broadcasting gig you've actually turned down or would turn down? Jim, I believe you're calling me a courtesan. Leave the money on the dresser. I'll pick it up with a microphone in my other hand. I have turned something down. This is accurate. Now, I have also been comprehensive. I've done rugby. I've done water polo. I've done horse jumping from beautiful Wellington, Florida. What else is obscure? Oh, table tennis, badminton, the early days of Tennis Channel. And then mixed martial arts. It's over just that quickly. I'm not doing the whole resume, but I've checked a lot of obscure boxes. My agent, when he was still working for me and returning my calls, Broadway Danny Rose, called me on a Thursday. It's about 12 years ago. Can you do cycling on Saturday? Saturday. And it was Italian cycling.
Open on a Saturday.
And I respect people who call niche sports, because I'm pretentious and say niche, call sports that have a smaller following. And given the internet and given the seven people who are going to watch this race, I would have gotten every name wrong. And if you give me a week, I would have said yes. Because thankfully with YouTube, you can find your way. I've done field hockey. Have I mentioned that? I did the NCAA Field Hockey Championships in Cincinnati for CSTV, which is now the CBS Sports Network.
Man,
find that tape.
She's got it again.
I turned it down, and I never got the call back. So, yes, I've turned down Italian cycling. Of course, at 2 o'clock in the morning, because that's the only time I get booked. Apparently, that's the only time people want me on the air. But I don't turn down things like bowling because they're phenomenal.
Scrivens has an answer.
I don't turn down college softball because Caranco's going deep. We know that. I like to work.
Caranco goes deep.
The whole goal is to be on the air as much as you can be. Plus, there is a financial incentive. And since I've damaged this rental,
straight
I'm going to have
cash,
to
homie,
buy it
Marshall.
When I head back to 24-hour Martinizing. With that, there's a phone call, I'm told. Mystery caller, if Rit can find the proper button. Parody Larry. Hello, Lawrence. You're in the jungle. How have you been?
McRibber. Great to hear your voice, as usual. Best guest host besides the man himself in the box. Listen, I like that jacket you're wearing, but if you stand up, I'll bet there's a steel cable holding that button to it. And on the back, there's a wide load road sign. But anyway, Vin Scully, love the guy. Can't stand the Dodgers, but Vin was the awesomest guy ever behind the mic. Gave you what you wanted to hear. And just for Vin, in memoriam, I'd like to do a little jungle version of his classic Game 6 call of the Mets against the Red Vines. A little tootsie roller up along the desk, behind the glass, it gets through Chocula. Here comes Garrett, and the Rit eats it. And now the only question is, can he make it to the diabetes clinic unassisted? Later.
How dare you? Wait a minute. Now I'm Chuck Barris on the Gong Show.
Not a very good call.
J.P. Morgan, the unknown comic. How could you gong Parody Larry? Now, I think he beat you to it. We're going to check out the tape. I think he hit the post there. Now, I understand your thought process beyond diabetes smack. If your name is Parody Larry, you got to give me a parody. We don't want hot take Larry. We don't want play-by-play impersonator Larry. Where was the song, right? It should have been, now I'm producing Larry. Larry, next time we lose a broadcast icon in baseball, you come in with Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And then you make fun of Rit.
Diabetes.
Or, for example, Garrett, since you're flying the plane as we wind down, If it's a baseball topic, maybe the Chicago Cubs could be involved, as Ritt's now scurrying through the board. I think they have a song called Go Cubs Go.
Baseball season's underway.
I'll let this play for 30 seconds. I think this
go
is gold.
Ahead and slot the Cubs in last place. Because Quintana won't be able to play. He just effed his finger up today.
All right, Bill O'Reilly did not know the term play us out. We're going to be playing us out with Garrett Ritt taking us to the update. Scott Miller, longtime baseball writer, now contributing to New York Times, going to weigh in on the passing of Vin Scully. Plus, he has covered the Padres for years in San Diego. So, with Soto now in America's finest city, how could that shake things up in the senior circuit come playoff time? First, time for a sports update. Rich Ackerman. Brian Weber back with you. Always a pleasure to be in for Jim Rome. Let us wrap up the program with the baseball insights provided by a good friend, Scott Miller. You read his work in New York Times. You hear him on Sirius XM Radio. Scott, I appreciate you taking the time. How are you?
Real good, Brian. Coming back to life after a crazy day yesterday. Trade deadline day always is all kinds of adrenaline and texts and phone calls and almost an overwhelming amount of information. And it's always interesting. And yesterday was no different.
And then we lost Vin Scully last night. So let's start with Mr. Scully.
Right.
How would you sum up for a casual fan? I've been doing my best to articulate what Vin meant to our industry and to a sporting culture. But you spent your lifetime in the game. How would you sum up what Vin Scully meant to baseball?
Well, I guess first let me ask, how long are you on? Do we have about 10
hours?
Yeah,
we got about 10 minutes, so I know you could be comprehensive.
Probably the best way to say it is the best person to sum up how great Vin Scully was, how much he meant to the game, how much he meant to listeners, how much he meant to people within the game. The best person to describe that would be Vin Scully. I mean, you can't put into enough words how important he was. He was 94, and we all knew he was, would last forever. But still, when you get news like that, it's sobering. I mean, I talked to a couple of his broadcast partners last night and this morning, Charlie Steiner and Rick Monday, and for a story I'm writing for the New York Times right now. It's like they had a personal connection, a personal friendship with Vin. But as they said, and anybody that's ever listened to Vin knows, he was a friend, not just to those who knew him, but to those who didn't. He was that soothing, comforting voice coming into people's homes through television, through the radio, for an amazing 67 years. And he was the best that ever did it. And we're never going to see another broadcaster go 67 years like that. And even at the end of his 67-year run, he was still spot on in telling stories and anecdotes and bringing the humanity of the game into people's homes. I mean, he opened every broadcast at some point by saying, pull up a chair and spend a couple of hours with us. As if he was your father or your grandfather when you went back to visit, saying, hey, pull up a chair here at the kitchen table. Let's sit down and talk about what's going on. An enormous, enormous loss, even though he hadn't been in the booth since his retirement in 2016.
Well said. I appreciate those eloquent thoughts. We're chatting with Scott Miller. You can read his work in New York Times. Looking forward to that article on Mr. Scully. You hear him on Sirius XM Radio. And Scott, for years, you've contributed off and on to the Padres pre- and post-game coverage. So, with Juan Soto now coming to America's finest city, let's move ahead to the postseason. New format this year with the wild card being expanded. If the Padres can lock up one of the top two seeds and then host what would be, if necessary, all three games of that wild card series. How dangerous could they be in the postseason now with Soto on the club?
Yeah, Brian, it's going to be a fascinating run over the next several weeks and into October, because the Dodgers have that 12-game lead in the division. And you know, look, the Dodgers, I still think, are the favorites in the National League. Their July, 21-5, was just spectacular. And there's not enough games, barring an epic Dodgers collapse, for the Padres to chase them down. However, to your point, October comes, you hit a reset button, and where the Padres are now, they absolutely can be a threat in October, because, you know, not just a wild card. First, obviously, they have to win a wild card spot, but, you know, even if they do that and then they win the wild card series in advance, they get the Dodgers or Atlanta or the Mets or whoever it is in a best of seven series, the Padres have the pitching to take a shorter series like that. I mean, Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish, Sean Manaea, Mike Clevenger, and then adding Josh Hader to the bullpen. They've had some of the best pitching in the league all year. Their problem at times has been a lack of offense. Part of that is because Fernando Tatis Jr. has not played yet this year. So now you fast forward to today and the next couple of weeks. When Juan Soto joins this lineup, and they should get Tatis Jr. back from that broken wrist, he's expected to finally play in the majors again in about, I'm going to say, 10 days to 2 weeks. Now, when that all happens, the pitching they have, as I just said, they can win a 4 out of 7 series against anybody with that pitching if they score enough. And from that side of the ball, Soto, Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., and then others in the lineup. But those three, wow.
Scott, how about a final thought on Shohei Ohtani? His name came up prior to yesterday's deadline. He's still with the Angels, but next year's the walk year. He can be a free agent, and Ohtani's been vocal. He wants to play for a winning team. So
yes,
let's not play the parlor game. Is he going to be a Yankee? Is he going to be a Dodger? When it's time for him to get paid, shouldn't his agent come to whatever club? Let's just say he's still with the Angels and say that their owner, Artie Moreno. Okay. Well, he's an outstanding pitcher and he's a dominant hitter. Give me the best contract that's out there currently on the marketplace and bump it up by at least a third because he's doing double duty.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's where Ohtani, in handling him, whether you're the Angels and you try to re-sign him or trade him, or if he gets into the free agent market and other clubs negotiate, what is his value, if both financially and on the trade market, if the Angels trade him? In other words, what are you trading for? I mean, we've never had a player like this in our lifetime. You know, what he's doing, it is remarkable. So, to your point, you add another 30% onto the free agent contract or whatever it is, or if the Angels would trade him, what's a fair package to get back? I mean, you know, you could start by looking at some of the biggest blockbuster trades, whether it's the Max Scherzer or Trey Turner last year, or what the Padres gave to the Nationals yesterday for Juan Soto and Josh Bell. You know, 5-6 players, top prospects. But with Ohtani, to your point, if you trade him, okay, we'd like – the precedent's been set in other blockbusters where we're going to trade our superstar for 5 players, 3 or 4 of whom are in your top 10 prospect. But with Ohtani, well, now does it have to be 7 players and 5 of your top 10 prospect? I mean, nobody knows, and it's going to be precedent setting whether it's his contract in free agency or a trade, whichever avenue – the Angels go down with him, or he and his agent go down, it's going to be precedent-setting.
Scott, as always, we value the insights. Thanks for the time, and look forward to reading your article on Vin Scully.
Brian, my pleasure. Always enjoy talking baseball with you, my friend.
Thank you. Scott Miller working on that piece on Mr. Scully. It'll be coming out soon in New York Times. You also hear him on Sirius XM Radio. In fact, that was so good, we're going to make it our huge call, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They are close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. In our remaining 2 minutes, now that the trade deadline has passed, and that was the most substantial deal involving Soto in years on deadline day, and that was energizing to run through in granular detail yesterday. Different pace today. Call me surprised. Could I have been wrong? We did not hear from the league. Now I'm going to wind up on Old Takes Exposed, right? I didn't tweet that. Mark it down. The NFL will appeal while I'm on the air as we approach 3 Eastern. Still no word from the NFL.
Mark it down. That's an H.
Very interesting. We will find out what the league opts to do prior to the deadline coming up at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Tomorrow we have football. It is preseason. It is irrelevant. It is a colossal waste of time. But I'll be watching, and you'll be watching, and millions of people will be watching because we are addicted to the National Football League. And here's the best part. We've made it. Now we have games moving forward. I want to thank our guest, Scott Miller, as always, terrific from the New York Times. Fred Siegel was great from Freezing Cold Takes and his new book, Freezing Cold Takes NFL. And our friend Bob Glauber, who covers the NFL for New York Newsday. Want to thank Jim Rome. Hope he's enjoying lake life in Wisconsin. Greg Kitchen, Spike Eskin, David Mirnock, all the fabulous people at CBS Sports Radio. The XR4TI, excellent work from Tom. At Garrett's.
Thank you.
Back-to-back shows. Take the rest of the week off. My name is Brian Weber. I'll talk to you next week here in the...